Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
I like the way you do. Whoa, the way you took it so slow. And I've been so satisfied. No, I ain't never had no loving like this before.
Hey, hey, you're listening to Eat Your Words on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and the show, yes, was formerly known as Let's Eat In. And this is not an April Fool's joke, even though it is April Fool's Day. But it's the start of a new season, a fresh new start, and we have had so many great authors of food literature, foodie memoirs, cookbooks, all sorts of food politics on the show that we thought we'd just dive right into that. Why not? See what happens. So thank you for joining me. And I'm so excited to start it off with a couple of awesome friends of mine and fellow food bloggers who have their first cookbook coming out tomorrow. It's Alex and Siobhan from Blondie and Brownie.
Hi.
So awesome that you guys could make it here, and congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So the book is New York a la carte, recipes and stories from the Big Apple's best food trucks. If you've read their blog, you might notice that they are big on covering food trucks in the city.
Yes.
And was that the start of, like, you were just covering food at first?
Yeah, we were just covering food at first, and then I think when we started getting into Midtown Lunch, that's when we really started getting into street food a lot more.
Midtown Lunch, the blog by our lovely friend, Zach. So this book is, how many food carts do you explore in it?
46.
And you guys were saying off air a little bit, because I was flipping through the pages and there's so many different cuisines. There's biandang, Taiwanese cuisine, there's dosas, there's samosas. I mean, there's like everything. So how many cuisines?
There's 20 in the book, actually.
Which is like half are some various, and that really says a lot about New York City and why you chose to cover food trucks in New York City.
Absolutely. We definitely wanted to show the diversity of street food that you can get. You know, it's not just hot dogs, it's not just pretzels or ice cream cones. There's so many amazing foods that you can buy just off the street.
And was this like a gradual evolution? Or have food trucks... You talk a little bit about the history, you know, of street eating.
It really wasn't. This is kind of like a second coming of street food in New York. This sort of, you know, a wide range of cuisines has actually been going on since the early 80s.
Yeah.
It just wasn't really covered in mass until the internet started, I think.
It was kind of like low culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Street food.
And it was local. You know, you'd be eating up from your culture, like what the truck or the cart, more likely the cart in the 80s, around the block that's in your neighborhood. So if you're Colombian, you're in a Colombian neighborhood, you're eating from there.
I see. People
weren't, you know, seeking it out.
They weren't like following on Twitter to see where's my favorite food truck right now. I'm gonna run after it.
Are they open?
Yeah. And now things like the Vendy Awards, which is quite prestigious, and people are they really flock to the winning, you know, the most revered food trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. We worked a lot with the Street Vendor Project in researching the book and talking to them about their mission. They're part of the Center for Urban Justice, and they do amazing advocacy on a day-to-day basis for the cart and truck vendors. And what we found talking to them was that, you know, with these vendors, the Vendy is the Oscars,
the Vendy Awards,
of street vendors. And with the event, it was their way to shine a spotlight on the street vendors. And for that was one of the first times that anyone did that, to validate that they're making some of the most amazing food that you can get, and it's oftentimes under $10.
Yeah,
and so it's been. As Vendy fans and as street food fans, seeing how that's grown and seeing the level of interest that people are taking in vendors, not just the ones that have like the awesome Twitter handles and the big followings, but some of the smaller vendors that are spread throughout the five boroughs, has been an amazing part of the experience.
The thing I love about this book, though, is also that you go into depth about the stories about the founders and each chef and where they were inspired and how hard it is to do this sometimes and the struggles, and it's so fascinating. But you also provide recipes that you know, a lot of people might not think, you know, it's not quite intuitive to think that you could make a street food specialty at home, but your recipes really show I don't know how hard it was for you to translate some of them, but they were practical and they were delicious sounding, and they sounded very doable and different and exciting for someone to make.
Yeah, it's kind of like capturing this historical part of New York and, you know, keeping these recipes, you know, forever somewhere. Yeah.
I mean, with a lot of the vendors, and, you know, historically, because it was maybe more of a low culture thing, it's like those oral recipes, you know, something that your grandmother makes and you love eating it, but you never bother to figure out exactly how to do it. Because with a lot of the vendors, they've never bothered to write it down. So that was a really important focus for Siobhan and me. It's talking to them and capturing these recipes so that this moment in history will be preserved, and that people can know that they can make these things at home.
That's so cool. And also, I would imagine a lot of them might be guarded, like these are their secret recipes.
Yes. Yeah, we actually needed to get the book deal first before a lot of the vendors would give up their recipes. They did, like, you know, little commitment before in the proposal stage, but then once we got the deal,
I remember, like, because food trucks are in so many different cities around the world. By the way, we have another guest on air, Clay Williams. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. And how are you involved with this project?
I was one of the two photographers on the book.
Thank you so much. The food photography is awesome. That must have been fun and delicious.
It definitely was. Yeah, it was awesome.
So I was just talking a little bit, though, about different food trucks around the world. And what I gathered, you know, being in Taipei for a little while there, is that, you know, these recipes are so secretive, and nobody in their right mind would want to give them away, because, like, that's their whole strength as a vendor, your competition edge.
Yeah, I think one of the benefits was because we've been following street food for years before we started writing the book or had the idea. A lot of the vendors knew us. They knew us as fans and nice, then eventually as friends. As regular customers, like, they know, you know, from our blog that we write about things that we love and that we're really passionate about street food. And so I think that helped break down any resistance. It wasn't like just some random person coming in and saying, give me your recipes. So I think that definitely helped in terms of getting a lot of these recipes down.
That's
from
cool.
Them.
You got in there. So I would imagine, you know, I haven't seen too many food trucks from the inside, but I imagine it's really hard to photograph and not quite so photogenic when you actually get in there.
Clay has seen a lot of trucks from the inside.
Grease and messy and just chaos.
It's a very tight space, and I'm a big guy, so that's definitely one of the issues. But it's not so bad in there. I mean, some of them can get a little in the weeds, but especially when I did some of the shoots during lunch, like during the lunch rush,
it was crazy. Capture that.
But a lot of times, you know, they have an order to things, and as long as you aren't really in their way, which was the biggest problem, I ended up sort of hanging off the back of a couple of trucks. You know, like right
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That sounds like an action movie, like Indiana Jones style. And it's hot, right? It's hot inside. They're cooking, frying, grilling.
Yeah, it gets really, really hot in there.
That's a unique challenge of having a food truck. Okay, so one thing I've heard with this like newfound renaissance of food trucks, I've met with a couple of people who are like, yeah, we wanted to start a food truck, but there's this huge wait list to be a food truck in New York City. Because, I mean, look at the streets. You can't possibly have as many food trucks as people would possibly start up or patronize.
Yeah, there's a cap in New York. They only give out a certain amount every year. And a lot of them are actually not... They're on the black market. There's a lot of black market licenses.
The cap has been in place since the early 80s, right? Yeah. Like 1983, and it's only at around 3,000 year round. And then there's more seasonal, which is actually starts today, April 1st, through October. Yeah. Ooh, seasonal vending. There's a cap that's been in place for a long time, so the wait list is like decades. A new one from the city. So from the city you can get it for like $200 a year or $200 for two years or something. It's very cheap from the city. But, you know, it might take you decades to get it. So the black market is very robust.
I heard a rumor, I don't know if I was talking to some other people that were trying to start a food truck, that a lot of people may be holding on to these licenses but not really operating because they might want to start up another time, and these things are valuable.
Yeah.
Is there a black market for selling off your license to somebody else?
I mean, there are people, you pay tens of thousands of dollars a year to the permit holder.
Yeah. I mean, really, what tends to happen is that the people who have the licenses, they will quote-unquote rent them to other people and enter into some sort of partnership, supposedly where you're operating under their license. But, I mean, there's definitely people who have the licenses who haven't operated their own cart in, like,
a while.
Yeah.
So if they get caught and they don't have a license, say a cop decides to buy a donut from this from this cart.
Does a regular cart? And almost all the regular carts have licenses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But the shopping carts and the
is a little more.
Yeah.
I see pop up thing imajigs and
yeah.
So any of these 46 ones or
they're all
legit.
Yeah, they're legit. All legitimate.
Okay. And how does one start one then? If it is it like a cap that
one of the truck vendors, Chef Samir from the Kumsi Kumsa truck, he had this great quote about like the hardest part was basically finding where to get the license, because he's there's no one who will tell you that, like
it's
a
labyrinth.
And when he got his license a couple of years ago, like he had to basically get an introduction to someone who had a license to sell. So like there's a lot going on behind the scenes that some of us don't know more about.
But on the other hand, I'm sure, and a lot of these vendors spoke to it in the book, operating out of a food truck before actually going brick and mortar was just the most sensible, low-cost way to maybe try out your idea and see if it works.
Yeah, just to try out the market for a lot of them and to see what neighborhoods worked better for their market.
Right. Oh, that's right, because you're mobile. You don't have to be in one place.
Yeah.
Oh. So a lot of them have gone on to open their own brick and mortar shops.
Food trucks, yeah.
Yeah, like I know Morris Grilled Cheese are going to have a restaurant soon. There's been ice cream and...
Big Gay, Treats Truck.
Right.
Mexi-Q.
Right.
Who else?
They're just part of...
Kimchi Taco,
yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting times. So, what is your favorite food truck? You can each answer here. You have to pick a favorite.
We can't pick a favorite. That's like asking about your favorite child.
Yeah. We plead the fifth on that one.
Clay, some of your favorite? Clay wants to answer.
Or maybe what was your favorite shoot?
My favorite shoot?
The one in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. That one was a little hazardous. I don't even know. We went up to the Bronx to the Chipper truck.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And there were a lot of drunken folks.
Okay, derelicts,
among others. Yes,
that's what a food truck is good for, I guess.
Right. And children throwing bricks through car windows, apparently, and an old Irish guy who's, you know, was yelling, "They're English, they're English."
What?
Yeah. It was
Siobhan.
Right.
Doesn't get more Irish than that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That was an adventure, definitely.
Wild. But good burgers. Yes. And chips.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
And then we went home.
Right. but the one in Roosevelt Avenue, because I don't go to Queens very often, so when we went on a walk down Roosevelt with
Jeff,
and there was the...
Jeff is from which truck?
Jeff Orlick?
Jeffrey Taste.
Yeah, he does tours.
Oh, so gotcha.
He sort of, you know, took us down about a mile of Roosevelt Avenue. And the first one was the tortoise truck.
Tortoise Nezza.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You guys went far and wide,
Yeah. Staten Island several times.
Yeah. Donnie made the Staten Island trip. So
Donnie Tang is the other food photographer, so you guys teamworked it.
Tag team.
All right, let's come back for more stories from New York a la carte after a quick little musical break, and we'll be here.
You're listening to Crying Blues by the California Honey Drops on the heritageradionetwork.org. Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Are eating pizza. We're back with the authors of New York a la carte, Alex Benfold, Siobhan Wallace, and photographer Clay Williams.
Yay!
So I know you have some upcoming events to celebrate the book's release that involve food. Where can I go?
Well, tomorrow we're going to be at Postman Books in Grand Central during lunchtime.
With some of our Midtown Lunch peeps, like Clay, and our other photographer, Donnie Tsang, and Brian Hoffman, also Midtown Lunch contributor, and hopefully some drop-bys by other Midtown Lunchers, so that should be fun. We'll be talking
about... Good little lunch break.
Yeah, lunch in Midtown.
Nice.
And then we have a number of other signings coming
What's
up.
What's the one at Powerhouse Books?
Powerhouse is on the 16th.
Yes, 16th, 7 p.m. And we're going to have a number of trucks there, including the Treats truck and Morris truck. They'll be vending outside at around 6.
Perfect.
So you can get a little bite to eat.
That's such a nice location, too, to park your truck. And
yeah.
It's beautiful.
Hopefully
there.
The weather will keep up and it'll be really nice out.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good time. Like you said, it's the start of food truck season.
And
so
Actually, on the 14th, we're going to be part of the Downtown Literary Festival with Housing Works. And we have a number of vendors coming to that Patacon Pisao from Washington Heights, which is exciting if you don't get up there very much. Uncle Gussie's from Midtown. It's Greek Truck. Who else do we have at?
Drawing a blind.
You have something.
Oh, Fazia's. Fazia's from the Bronx. Fazia's has Heavenly Delight. She's awesome. She's quite delightful. So we have those three, and Cesar Fuentes from the Red Hook Food Vendors Association will be talking too. So we're gonna have a little kind of conversation thing.
Nice.
With the vendors, just chatting about New York street stories, and the trucks will be vending prior to the event. So that's at 1:30 on Sunday, April 14th. Downtown now, Literary Festival.
These guys must love you so much, these food trucks. Do you ever have to pay ever for anything?
I do. Or I get a discount and I just give them the tip.
Yeah. You're like, this was my whole reason for doing this project. No, just kidding. And I know you're always sharing the latest news, tips, gossip, new trucks, stuff going on your blog, Blondie and Brownie. Is there anything like enticing you're looking forward to soon, other than the book?
I've been in like a school mound of work, so I have no idea what's going on in the world.
We're looking forward that to happens. Seeing all of our vendor friends at the signings that we've been setting up for the past 2 months.
I hear you.
Yeah. No, but I mean, spring, there's so many great outside events that are happening.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of our truck friends are coming back from their little vacations. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be a lot of great events, you know, in Prospect Park. There'll be
Guga Muga
happening.
That thing.
Which is Guga. The Guga.
And like the... Wait, did they already have Choice Truck? What is it called?
Choice Streets.
Choice Streets.
No, that's going to be on May 7th. That's
We're definitely looking forward to that. That actually already sold out 6 weeks in
that's
advance.
Insane.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
Oh my gosh. All right, so do you think that there's like a big like food truck community that is happening amongst the vendors from all these events?
There is. There's like the New York Food Truck Association.
Yeah.
That's formed, and they all work, a lot of them work with Street Vendor Project, especially when they have legal problems, and they're really starting to come together more. I feel like back in the day, there was a lot more aggression amongst the street food vendors.
Me versus you. And
space issues. Yeah. It's like, I'm supposed to be in this space.
Yeah.
And there used to be like actual fights between
them.
I haven't heard about so many recently.
Yeah.
But there had been a lot of, you know, hey, this is my spot. I've been working on this spot for X number of weeks, months, years, and you can't just show up and like steal all my customers, that sort of thing.
It's a unique territorial kind of concern to have.
Definitely.
So have you been cooking a lot? You must have tested all the recipes and eaten them a million times, right?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
What are some standouts that maybe you make again and love?
I actually made the cheddar jalapeno corn cakes from Big D's Grub Truck for dinner the other night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I've made them a lot of times. They're
and
really,
Alex
really
is like 8 months pregnant right now, by the way.
Craving pregnant lady food. It's sweet. It's salty. It's cheesy.
Nice.
It's spicy. It's crispy.
It's a corn cake?
Yeah, it's a corn cake, so it's like a pancake.
Oh, yum.
So it's basically everything a pregnant woman would want.
It sounds quick and easy, too.
Yeah, it is pretty easy. And so that's been definitely a standout. My family loves the frozen mint juleps from Kelvin Slush.
Ooh,
we get a lot of requests for that. We made those at pretty much all of our recipe testing parties because Donnie is a big fan.
I'm also a big fan of alcohol.
Nice.
Those are great.
That's a fun that they have like the adult and then the kid versions of the slush, the boozy and that.
We have to say at the Vendy Awards this past year, we tested out a lot of the recipes for Kelvin Slush so that they could do them again on their huge machines.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was quite the boozy afternoon where I don't really remember going home.
We toddled home.
I know there was a ferry involved.
Occupational hazard.
At the Vendy's, we served up a sangria slush and a Bellini slush that we had to, and a shandy slush.
Yeah, and then we'd start doing shandies somewhere around 3 o'clock, because why not?
It's like frozen margarita time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But better.
Much better.
fresh fruit and stuff.
Wasn't there one with like champagne or sparkling wine or something?
Yeah, that was a Bellini.
It's
yeah.
really refreshing. Yeah. It's nice.
I could go for one of those right now.
Yeah. But there's a lot of recipes in the book that, you know, like I actually made the dosas from the Dosa Man cart for my family for New Year's.
I'm looking for a good recipe for that.
Yeah, they're incredible, and it makes a lot, and you can make them again the next day. So that's terrific. And there are a bunch of recipes that, you know, I've flagged them. You know, the coffee cake, like the Maker's Mark coffee cake from Miss Softy. That's delicious. Nice Maker's Mark glaze.
Do you see any trends in the types of trucks, like any one cuisine standing out as like emerging trend?
I think it's going with the regular New York restaurant trend, which is a lot of this comfort food and rustic nature and grilled cheeses and fried chicken.
Seasonal local too?
A little bit. There's a lot of seasonal going in. Morris Grilled Cheese is really great for stuff like that because he buys most of his
I've seen him sources. At the Green Market.
Yeah.
With his cart.
Yeah.
Like grandma cart, that is. Cool. So also, what else are you looking forward to cooking maybe that you haven't made yet this spring? Now that
I'm really craving strawberry pie right now. I've been buying strawberries by like the pint or whatever.
Are they around?
Well, they're coming in from California.
Okay.
So
anticipated.
Yeah, I can't take potatoes and carrots anymore.
Yes.
So until the ramps show up, I will be eating the stuff from California.
Yeah.
And I know you're fond of cooking too, Clay.
I am.
What's some highlights right now from your kitchen?
I'm not a big Easter guy, but But last night I did do a lamb, braised lamb.
Leg or
shoulder? I prefer shoulder. It's better for braising and it doesn't dry out. But I wasn't sure what the options were, so I wasn't sure what I felt like. So I gave my wife the options of lamb or ham, and so I bought a fresh ham too. So now I have a fresh ham that I'm.
I have no plans this afternoon.
Lamb. That's a good husband.
Thank you, ma'am.
So I haven't decided if I'm going to roast it, braise it, or maybe just cure it.
Why not?
Cure it.
Cure it. I thought you had leftovers of both, in which case you can make a killer lamb ham meatloaf. I'm just kidding. That sounds horrible.
A little weird.
Good one. All right. So, okay. So we can find you. And Wednesday you have an event coming up, right?
Oh, that's like a private thing.
Oh, sorry,
sorry. Yeah. That's just for our friends.
Guys.
I mean,
but
if
Tuesday,
show up.
For sure Tuesday.
What else do you want to say? What's your ultimate thesis? I know you're working on another thesis about New York a la carte. Why should we buy it?
Because these trucks and carts are not going to be around forever, and so here's your chance to get their recipes before they disappear.
Urgency.
Yeah, but
compiled.
It's just shining a spotlight on the vendors, all of their hard work, everything that they've put into their businesses. They so inspired us when we were researching the book, and the recipes are great. I mean,
they
it's really good food.
That sounds good.
Also the pictures.
Yeah.
All the pictures.
And the pictures. In the tight kitchens.
Where can we find your photography work, Clay?
ClayWilliamsPhoto.com and my blog, UltraClay.com.
Excellent. And we can find the ladies keeping on blogging for how long? How long now?
Is the 5 years.
5 years.
We just passed the 5-year mark.
Congratulations.
Wow. Yeah.
BlondieAndBrownie.com. All sorts of food adventures, not just trucks.
Not just trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking at these lobster rolls right now. I'm like, yes, on the back of this book. And it's definitely that time of year to get excited. So thanks so much for joining me. And best of luck with the book. It looks gorgeous. It's out tomorrow from Running Press, New York a la carte, recipes and stories from the Big Apple's best food trucks. We'll see you next week on Eat Your Words.
Oh, I like the way you do.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. No. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries, like why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode. Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.